So for the last, 7 weeks, we've been going through the series on the Lord's Prayer. And today, I want to kind of wrap it all up in a way to kind of think about it that I think is helpful moving forward. One of the things I've appreciated as we've gone through the series, and I think I share it every week, I just love slowing it down enough to really see what it is that we're praying, to really see what it is that God's saying and what he's promising as we're going through. And so I hope that's been a benefit. You know, one of the things that I guess the ways I want you to look at this prayer as we take a step back is, I think basically we have about 7 problems in life, and I think every experience that you'll ever have that's a problem, everything that you will in the future, every kind of problem that you can have falls within 7 categories. And one of the interesting things about the Lord's Prayer and why I love it so much is that in each of its phrases, in each of its petitions as we go through, God actually gives us the antidote, the answer to those problems as we're going through life. And so all the things that we're worried about, stressed about, have anxiety about, things that are complicating our life, God actually gives us the antidote right there in the Lord's Prayer. And so I love that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But God's essentially saying, if you have a problem, here's my promise. Here's my answer. And you can know it, and you can count on it. One of the things I keep talking about, it seems like often enough, right, is we need to trust God for more in our life. And the more we trust God, the more peace we experience, the more hope we experience, the more strength we experience, the more joy we experience, all those different things. And if you kind of look at it like this, we have this big circle in our hearts somewhere, and we put everything that we trust God implicitly for. And so sometimes we can trust God implicitly for forgiveness, right? I mean, that's the thing that we come to the altar for. It's something we receive every time we come to church. It's the big deal about Jesus. He forgives our sins, reconciles our relationship with God. And so we'll put that in there. And when we trust it, we have freedom from our past. We're not beating ourselves up for the decisions of yesteryear. We're not letting people manipulate us because of the dumb things that we've done or said in the past. We're forgiven for it. We're freed from it. And there's a tangible freedom that we experience. Sometimes we'll put heaven in there, right? I mean, when we die, we're going to go to heaven. And when we experience the truth of that, and we trust it implicitly, when we're on our last days, we're filled with excitement and joy about going and being with our Heavenly Father. A lot of you guys knew Paula, and one of the things I appreciated so much about Paula is when she was looking toward the end and she knew it was it, she was excited. She was excited she was going to go be with Jesus, right? I mean, she loved her family, she loved us, she was going to miss us, but really she was excited, filled with the joy, because she knew without a shadow of a doubt she was going to receive her reward. She was going to go be with Jesus soon. It gives you a different way of dealing with life, a different way of handling life when we trust Him for those things. All right, back to the Lord's Prayer. God gives us 7 antidotes to the big problems that we have in life. And so I wanted to go through those just real quickly. It'll be a nice review in some ways, and then I'll tie it up in the end. The Bible says in the first week when we kind of met together on this, that God's answer to my inferiority is His person. This inferiority thing is a big issue in our culture today. So we ask questions like, or say things like this, I don't like myself. I don't like what's going on in my head. I don't like what's going on in my body. You see all sorts of people responding in some super drastic ways in our culture today because they don't like the way God made them, or they don't feel good about the way they are. This is a kind of a fundamental kind of issue, isn't it? It's dealing with who you are as a person. It's dealing with who God made you to be. It's adolescence, right? It kind of on steroids. And what do we do when we're feeling that way in our culture? We try to do almost anything we can to boost that self-esteem or to feel better about life. So we'll go to self-esteem clinics or buy status symbols or buy things or take therapy or even do drugs just to escape the way that we're feeling about ourselves in the moment. There's transitioning and a whole bunch of other things that our culture embraces. When you don't feel good about you and you want to try something that might make you feel better, here it is. But God speaks into all that noise and says, no, that's not how you fix this thing. Because all those things that I just listed, I mean, do they work? Not really. I mean, not for very long. I mean, the studies on all of those different things just show that you're back in the same place again and again and again. And so God speaks into that and says that the answer to all of this, the answer to your value, the answer to who you are as a person and finding peace with that is found in a relationship with me. God's answer to our inferiority, in other words, is His person. That's why we say in this prayer, right? Our Father in heaven. He wants us to look at us as dad, right? The perfect dad. I know some of us didn't have the perfect dad, but He's the perfect dad. Dad who cares about what's going on in our life. A dad that encourages us as we struggle, as we deal with the different things in life. A dad that's always there to share our stuff with, a dad that's always there to give us wisdom and direction, a dad that's always there loving on us and being there for us as we're going through this life. And when God becomes your father and you become his child, that settles it. You matter. Ask any dad as he's holding his child for the first time how much he loves that kid that he just basically met. It's insane. I don't know. God does something to ourselves, right, dads? I mean, when you're holding that child, maybe you didn't hold a lot of childs up to that point, but all of a sudden you're holding your kid and you just love them. I mean, they could try to earn that love over time. Okay, dads who are dads of high schoolers or whatever, but they can try to earn that love over time, but it doesn't even matter what they do. You just love them. They're always going to have value. They're always going to matter to you. You're always going to care about them. God says you find your value in me. It's not all the things that you achieve, and it's not all the things that you want, and it's not all the things that you go and buy. It's the fact that you're my kid, he says. Your significance comes from that relationship that you got with God. And when I can call God my father, and when I'm his child, then I can always know that if God likes me and I like me, then if you don't like me, then, you know, that's your problem, not my problem, right? So God's answer to our inferiority is always his person. If you think about it, we call him his king, right? And if he's the king and we're his kids, we're all princes and princesses. We have value because of our attachment with him. He sees us as his kids. He sees us as his child. And we should see him as our father more and more to give us strength, to give us encouragement, to remind us that we got somebody who's there. God's answer to my confusion is his plan, he says, his purpose. Questions of confusion are another kind of problem in our culture today. Why am I here? Who am I? Where am I going? What's the meaning of life? Why is all this happening to me? Why aren't things going better? I mean, just all these confusing questions that we ask ourselves as we journey through. In week two, as we went through this series, we saw that God has a general plan and a master plan for the whole world. That's why we pray, your kingdom come. We actually want his kingdom to come. We want all this mess in earth to end, and we want him to set up his new kingdom, right, of heaven and earth, and we want to go in a place and continue in a place where there is no sin and no sorrow and no pain. I mean, we want that. God also has a personal plan for your life, and that's why he says, your will be done. And when you get into the center of God's master plan for all of history and God's personal plan for your life, all of a sudden your confusion starts to dissipate. Why? Because in his word, he shares very clearly the path that we're to take. He shows us what's right and wrong along that path. He shows us the blessings that we receive as we continue to trust him and walk along this path. He promises us all sorts of things, protection and guidance and support and strength and peace and hope and journey, as we journey through this crazy life. But he says, this is the path. And if you know the path and you know the truth, it dissipates all that confusion that's going on in our world today. Is there a lot of confusion in our world today? Yeah. Because our world's lost ultimate truth. It's lost objective truth. But God's word is always ultimate. It's always true, no matter what. And he says, this is how you can have a perspective as you go through life. This is the thing that protects you. I am the way, Jesus said in his word. God's answer to my worry is his provision. That's why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Our worries include a huge, huge amount of categories in life because we pray about everything, or we worry about everything, don't we? We worry about our health, our finances, our future, our schedule, our kids, the economy, I mean, everything as we go through this life. And God speaks into all that worry and all that noise and all that inactivity that seems like activity as we're going through those worries, and he says, take a chill pill, right? Or relax. I got this. I promise you I will take care of all your needs on a daily basis. That's not all our wants. I mean, we want those things, but I will take care of all of your needs. Think about manna in the wilderness, how he provided for their hunger. Think about the way he provides for you a peace or a strength to keep going in the midst of difficult times. Think about the hope that he gives you in the midst of watching the news or in the midst of looking at our world. Think about all the needs he meets on a constant basis in your life. He says, I promise I will always come through. His answer to our worries is his provisions. We saw that in week three. God's answer to my guilt, and that's one of the number one struggles in our society today, is his pardon. Forgive us our debts, we prayed. We pray that because none of us is perfect. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes. We've all blown it. And because nobody's perfect, we all have regrets. Just a reality. And hopefully we get rid of those regrets soon as we bring them to God and he forgives and we can release that past. But When we don't, man, we still struggle with stuff that's been happening 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We still are thrust back into those situations. We still feel the knife turn if it was somebody that offended us, or we still feel the guilt burn if it's something we did to somebody else. We all have regrets. We all feel guilty. It's what drives us to repentance. But God says there's always been only one antidote to that guilt, and it's forgiveness. I mean, that's what Jesus came to give us, wasn't it? Forgiveness. He says, I want to pardon you from all your sins. I want to forgive you completely, instantly, and continually so you don't have to keep bringing it up, so that you don't have to keep feeling guilty about it, so I can release you and give you freedom. And we talked about that circle. If you put forgiveness in there, receive it. Stop letting the past dictate your future, or dictate your today. We saw in the fourth week, God says, I want to forgive you. I think so many problems in life occur, and this studies back this up over and over, secular studies even, is caused by this guilt thing, this unclear conscience thing. It causes physical problems. When you have guilt in your life, you can become sick, emotionally upset. It ruins relationships. It dictates the way you treat other people, all kinds of things. God's answer to our guilt, though, he says over and over, is my forgiveness, it's my pardon. You go on and says that God's answer to my strained relationships is peace, which is a big deal because we've kind of saw in week five that our biggest problems are people problems, right? You can do, I tell my kids, you can do almost anything. If the people are great, you're going to have a good time. The people are horrible. I don't care how much you like your job, it's horrible going to work because there's infighting, there's triangulation. It just makes what otherwise should be joyous just miserable. So what do I do when I hurt other people? When I hurt other people, it causes guilt, especially if I don't deal with it. When other people hurt me, it causes resentment because I don't seem to be able to let go of it. They're the Siamese twins of misery, guilt and resentment. What have I done to other people and what they've done to me? And so the Bible says, again, there's only one answer to those two pieces of misery that we seem to inflict upon our lives, and he says it's forgiveness. Forgiveness from God for my guilt, forgiveness to others so it can help me overcome my resentment. We saw how so many people just can't seem to let go, though, of that resentment, of that past. And as a result, they can't get on with their present, they can't get on with their future because they're hanging on to these grudges, and every time they think about it, the knife twists and they're right back with all those emotions and all those feelings. They hang on to that resentment just like they hang on to that guilt. So God comes to us and says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. People say, I can't forgive that person, Pastor. And that says, why? And I'll say to them, that's why you need Jesus, because he can give you the strength to actually to let go of them. It doesn't make, forgiveness doesn't make what they did right. It doesn't okay what they did. It just releases you from having to relive it anymore. It releases you and allows you to let go of that part of your life so that you can move on with today. It's freedom. It's peace. God's answer to my strained relationships is his peace that comes through forgiveness. Again, not as the world gives, but a peace that works, his peace. Last week, we saw how God's answer to our temptations is his protection. We pray, lead us not into temptation. And we saw the wonderful promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13, where God says, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but he'll make a way out if you trust him, and he will protect you. Isn't that a comfort as we're going through life and all the temptations that Satan tries to throw our way that God says to Satan no on a whole slew of them? And he says, you can only tempt him in this direction, right? You can only tempt him with these things. And this is how severe you can test him. And this is how long you can test him. Because I need to make sure that they always have the strength to say no to you. That there's always a way out, that they can escape what you're trying to do, that they can be safe. God is amazing. We're going to be blown away by how many things he prevented Satan from messing with us in this life. But he protects us as we go through this life. We talked about how we have all these areas in our lives that we'd like to change. Sometimes we feel incapable of that change. We keep doing the same things over and over and over, and we know it's just counterproductive. We know it's destructive to our life. We can see the complications that it's reaping, but we just keep falling into the same stuff. There's other things that we want to do that we know would be great for us that we just don't seem to have the strength to do. So God comes to us and he says, I can help you break free from that bondage. I can help you overcome. I can give you strength. His answer to your temptations is his protection. You say, God, help. I can't do this by myself. And he says, I know. I'm right here by your side. God's answer to my fears is his power. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You ever look around the world? There's a lot of evil in our world today, isn't there? The world's changed on us if you're over 40. I mean, the world's just changed on you, right? It used to be one way, and it wasn't perfect for sure, but it's a completely different way. Once we lost that objective truth, everybody kind of does their own thing. It's kind of like, reminds you of the judges. Everybody did what they saw was best, you know, and certain bests aren't always based on helpfulness. A lot of destruction, a lot of evil in our world. So everybody's afraid of something. Only a fool wouldn't be afraid of anything in our world today. And in fact, if you think you're not afraid of anything, you probably should see a psychiatrist, right? But there's some legitimate things that you ought to be afraid of. But the Bible says that you can be delivered from that evil. From God's power, he can give you the ability to say no to Satan, what he's trying to do. He can give you protection from all the stuff that's going on. And I say that because some of us feel like victims. Think watching the news, right? You think about circumstances in your life that are out of control, things that you don't know how to handle. It just seems beyond you. You don't know how they could ever get fixed. You start cycling. Think of the news. You start cycling with all the weight. But it's not just the news. It's looking at your kids and the decisions they're making. It's looking at the health once your doctor says you have this. And all of a sudden, you wonder about the future, and you worry about what that looks like, and you worry if you're going to come through and get to the other side of it. There's all sorts of things in life that we just can't control. And it's true. But God can control. And he's promised that he can deliver us from the evil. He says that when you're afraid, when you're worried, when you're tired, you're stressed out, you pray that prayer, deliver us from the evil one, God. And he says, and I'll come through for you. I'll give you the strength. When I was fourth grade, my mom came into my room. I was struggling with all these nightmares, I guess, at that point. And she says, you can say, in the name of Jesus, Satan be gone. And he has to leave with those bad dreams that he's given you. Did you know every single day since that moment, I've been able to pray that prayer and the bad dreams go away and I can go right to sleep? That there's a tangible freedom from all that garbage that I was thinking, that there's a tangible freedom to go to sleep, that there's power over the evil one. Some of you guys need to be delivered from some hurtful memories in the past. Why? Because they keep plaguing you. Some of you need to be delivered from some of the scars that you got when you carried around since childhood. Some of you need to be delivered from some present evil in your life right now that you're struggling against, that you feel is pulling you down and you feel the weight of that pull. God says, I want to help you. And as I said at the beginning, I believe that there are basically only seven life problems as we go through this life. Everything can be categorized in one of those seven, and they're all here. God's answer to my inferiority is his person. I know him. He's my dad. God's answer to my confusion is his plan and purpose. God's answer to my worries is his provision. Give us this day our daily bread. God's answer to my guilt is his pardon, his I forgive you. God's answer to my strained relationships is his peace, not an external peace, but one that we receive through forgiveness. God's answer to my temptation is his protection. God's answer to my fears is his power. If you think about all that, don't we have a lot to be thankful for? I mean, we're working up on Thanksgiving. This is amazing stuff. God says, here's the answer to all the stuff that you're struggling with right now. God says, I will meet all your needs. I'll cover these things, I promise you. And when we start wondering about what it is that we can add to the circle and trust him more for, this is the stuff. And so when we look at the Lord's Prayer, there's actually two things that I absolutely want you to get before we end. One, it teaches me that I should always put God first in my life. As the source, as the first place that I look when I'm struggling, I look to God because he promises to meet those struggles that I'm going through. I don't look to my job. I don't look to my wife. I don't look to the government. About 90 years ago, there was a guy named Lenin, right? He says, hey, they had this amazing idea. Look to the government to solve all your needs. How well did they do? Not very. It's destroyed all over Europe today. They're freeing from that. And when they got freed from that, we said, isn't that great? I mean, how silly is it that anybody would look to the government to meet all their needs? But Americans probably shouldn't be too haughty. Though we don't look often to the government to meet all of our needs. We do look to the gold card. MasterCard, fill my house. We're struggling, just go charge it. But the answer is not the government. And the answer is not the MasterCard. It's God. God's the only one that says, I can meet all your needs. I'm the only one. When you're struggling, I'm the only one that can give you peace and strength and hope. truly, the only thing that works and sustains over time. I'm the only one that can give you that. I'm the only one that can orchestrate things so that you have your daily bread, so that you're meeting those physical things. I promise that what you need, I will provide. Trust me, he says. Second thing that the Lord's Prayer teaches us is that we probably should be more specific when we pray. I think so many of us, we pray with such generalizations, and we don't see any answers to them, or at least we can't recognize the answer. God says, get specific. I'll give you an example. We pray, God, bless my life, but what does that blessing look like? Get specific, he says. And sometimes I think we fall short of getting specific because we're afraid that he's not going to come through. But God again and again says, be specific with me. So when you're feeling like you're falling apart and you have low self-esteem and you feel inferior, pray for his person in your life. Remember that you got a dad that loves you, that's got you, that's with you. When you feel like you're confused, pray for his plan in your life. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for your life. When you're worried, pray for his provision. When you've got guilt, pray for his pardon. When you've got strained relationships and struggling with your relationships, pray for his peace that comes through forgiveness. When you're tempted, pray for his protection. When you have fears, pray for his power. You can't get any more specific than that. He gives you the answers right here. The Lord's Prayer effectively handles all of those seven basic problems that we struggle with in this world. But the Lord's Prayer is not just a pattern for praying, it's a pattern for living. It's a way to live. The Bible teaches us through this model of prayer that I can also use it to evaluate my own life to see if I'm growing closer to him. In other words, if I'm trusting him with the more. And he sort of sets for us a standard. And so this is a way of looking at it. It's in your notes, but I can't pray our Father unless I actually believe I'm his child. And that's important because God is the creator of everybody, but he's not the father of everybody. He's the father of those that ask to become his children through Christ. I can only say our Father if I've been born again through my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I can't say hallowed or holy be your name if Christ doesn't have priority in my life. How can he be holy if he's not even number one? How can we say he's everything when clearly he's not anything in certain areas of our life? I can't say your will be done on this earth if I'm not committing to doing his will all the time. We struggle in that, but that's got to be the goal. I can't say give us today our daily bread without a willingness to share that bread with my family or with my friends or my community or even the world. I can't say forgive us our debts if I'm holding on to an unforgiving attitude toward other people. I can't say lead us not into temptation if I continue to expose myself on purpose to compromising situations. I can't say deliver me from evil unless I'm willing to walk away from the sin and live with integrity and purity. See, Jesus said to us in John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But if you come, and here's a prayer phrase, it's awesome, right? That's what he says. There's incredible blessing. There's unending forgiveness. There's life eternal. My friends, I love that you guys are here today. I mean, think about it. You guys have lived life, and somehow God's got you on a Sunday morning in church listening to the Word of God, praising his name through song. And this is cool stuff. He's protected you up to this moment. He's got you in his hands. He loves you and has pursued you with his love all through your life till you got to this place. Great is the love of our God. And so know today that you are loved amazingly by our God, that you are forgiven for all of your past, that he cares about every moment of your life, and that he's here, that he wants to help, that he loves you. Guys, go with that encouragement as we wrap up this series. And serve your Lord always with joy. Amen? Let me pray. God, we love you. And I love this series, and I love each and every week being able to break it down. But today, I love just kind of taking it back and looking at the whole and seeing all the promises that you've made us in this small prayer. All the things that you've promised, I will be there for you for. If it's true that these things make up most of all the things we struggle with in this life, then Lord, we say thank you today. Thank you for reminding us that you got us. that you're there and that you love us as your child. Thank you for reminding us that you've got purpose for our life. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for giving us strength to forgive other people and to overcome those temptations. Thank you for being there every moment, helping us get through. And when we fall, thank you for always being willing to say, I forgive you, and not holding it against us. But I thank you for just continuing to love us and continue to love us forward into the future. Help us experience the good things of trusting you with the more. And that's what we pray today. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.